All right, good morning. Good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. Let me just go around the room and say Merry Christmas to everybody. It's really good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I said to Janice this morning when she came in back there, I said, Janice, it's really good to see you. And she said, it's really good to be seen. Isn't that true? It is true. But as I look around, it's nice to have you here. And we'll certainly have a group later, and then even a larger group. The largest group we have each week is people watching online, and that's okay. That's great. We're glad that people are being safe, and I really appreciate you guys, coming in masked up, trying to be as intentional as we can be to keep everyone safe. But boy, I tell you what, it is a joy to be here with you today. Merry Christmas. Officially, we are in the Merry Christmas season. A couple weeks ago, I was out at Sam's Club. You know, it's weird. I'm at that place in my life, I go to Sam's Club just for entertainment. just to walk around and see what's there. I went by the eye place and I had the guy adjust my glasses a little bit, which was nice. I look around and I see this dollhouse on sale, 4.5 feet tall. And God said, John, thou shalt buy that for Finley. And I did. It took me 4.5 hours to put it together. And I can't wait until Christmas time. I was just going to give her the box, and let her dad put it together. And Arlene said, John, no, you need to put it together. You give a kid something like that for Christmas, and there's 5 hours of assembly before they can play with it. They're usually over it before you even get it put together. So I put it together. And to be honest with you, I've been enjoying it the last 4 or 5 days at home. I've been kind of playing with it. It's got 4 stories to it. It's incredible. But anyway... Anyway, I am just ready for the Christmas season. And here's the thing, folks. I'm not going to let anything diminish the joys of this season. And I want you to do that also. Don't let anything diminish the beauty, the hope, as we're going to talk about today, of this beautiful season. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something really good that we could do right now. If you have a smartphone with you, just take it, open up your Facebook app, and just check in at the First Church of Christ. You do that. When you just put something on Facebook, there's a you can choose down there. So I want to check in, and it'll recognize where you are, and we can let the whole world know, or at least your world, okay, know. That you are worshiping the Lord this morning. Rediscover the beauty of Christmas. Good news in troubling times. Let me ask you a question. Where were you when? Where were you when? Every generation has those moments in time that they will never forget. For those of us that are old enough, it might be the assassination of John F. Kennedy, or the assassination of Martin Luther King, or the Challenger explosion, or 9/11. I remember I was actually sitting in traffic out on Juniata Gap Road. They were repaving the road on that 9/11, and they had stopped my lane of traffic, and I was sitting there complaining about I was a little later than I wanted to be getting to the office when it came on that the planes had hit the tower. Never forget that. Where were you when? Folks, we are in one of those times. Where were you when you first heard about this coronavirus? What were you doing? Moments like that are big. Moments like that, where were you in? They change things. They change things forever. They change the right now, but they also change the future. Folks, listen. Many of these, Many of these kinds of events, they surround negative things, negative events, catastrophes, tragedies, and they strike without warning and give us an unsettling sense of fear. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? I was talking to a friend of mine at the Altoona Hospital the other day, and he told me that out of the 350-some patients that they had at the Altoona Hospital, one-third of them were COVID patients. So a third of the hospital is full, and a third of those patients are there because of Corona. I mean, what a year. The other day I was looking at my computer and I found a picture of Arlene and Nathan and Kristen at the airport in Pittsburgh. It was dated February the 16th this year. It was when they came home. And I'm looking at that picture and everybody looks so happy, so excited, so great to be home. And little did we know what was right around the corner. Here's the thing, folks. This is the season of Advent. And today I want to talk to you about how Advent is a season of hope. Of hope. Where were you when? This season of hope, Advent, is all about hope. The word Advent, you know what it means? It means coming. The word Advent means coming. It means arrival. What do you want to arrive in your heart, in your mind, in your life this Christmas? I asked my grandson Jack just the other day. I said, Jack, what do you want for Christmas? He said, Pappy, I want a drone. Now Jack lives in Pittsburgh. Houses on both sides. He does not need a drone. I see encounters with the neighbors that Sarah and Mark do not want if I buy that boy a drone. Okay, I'm not going to get him a drone, but he wants a drone. You know what I want for Christmas? I want hope. I want hope. Far too often our Christmas is all about the frenzied, overwhelming busyness of life. We pack our schedule with seasonal kinds of happenings, with deadlines to meet, and we just push. I was outside decorating the house yesterday and putting up lights, and it was a joy, but yet our life is full of just trying to make things look different than they really are. Listen, folks, Advent, coming, arrival. It's a time of year where we can set aside all of those things that hold us down. And we can ask God to prepare our hearts for His coming. To prepare our hearts for His arrival. So wherever you are in this Advent season of 2020, wherever you are in this season of distress and this season of anxiety and this season of uncertainty, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, I invite you into a season of Advent. And here's what I want us to do. Over the next few weeks, we're going to explore the attributes of Christ that we see in His birth story. Here they are: hope, peace, joy, and love. Let's talk about hope a little bit this morning. You know, it's really interesting because in Luke's story of Christmas, he has a great story to share with us about hope. Listen to Luke's account of this Advent from Luke 2 in verse number 22. Look at what it says. It says, when the time came for the purification rites by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of God. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Look at what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now look, he says, then the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and the sword will pierce your soul, your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna were sparks of hope in Israel. More than that, they were torches of hope, expecting God to come and do what he had promised. They believed this, and they were waiting for this. Here's the thing, folks. Anna and Simeon brought about a reason to hope in the lives of the people in their day. Now, did you notice in Luke's account that neither Simeon nor Anna seemed the least bit surprised? Seemed the least bit taken back by what they saw and what they experienced there? No. Why? Because that's what they were waiting for. And when they saw Jesus, they knew that he was the hope that they were waiting for. Now they might have come up to Mary and Joseph and had a whole different attitude. Maybe they would have come up and they would have wondered. Maybe they would have allowed their mind to think about who this child was. And then pass and go on and continue to look. But no, it says that the Spirit moved them. And listen, folks, that's what I'm asking for today. I'm asking for the Spirit to move us and to give us a reason to hope. I don't know about you folks, but that's the thing that we need, that our world needs more than anything else. You know why? Because when you think about this idea of hope in the life of Simeon and Anna, the hope that they had allowed them to see beyond. It allowed them to see what was not yet seen by others. Do you need that today? Do you need a vision to God from God that would allow you to see beyond what you're going through now? To allow you to see the day that you don't have the worries and the fears and the anxieties that you have right now? Don't you want to be able to see beyond the pandemic of COVID-19? To be able to see that God gives us hope of a better day. Listen, folks, hope is the fuel of faith. Hope is the fuel of dreams. Hope is the fuel of possibilities. And when we go into the world with hope, it sparks a fire in our heart that will cool the darkness that surrounds us. And its flicker. Its flicker can light other fires, even in the lives of other people. No matter how bad it gets. You know, I got a text yesterday from someone who has a family member that's been suffering from this COVID quite badly. And her text started with these words: "Finally, some good news." And I can't tell you what that text did for me, because I'd received a lot of texts, you know, in the days previous about that started something like this: "Please pray." You know, started with things like, you know, "No good news." And when I read those words, it sparked within me an energy that just fueled me for hoping that not only him, but others might be able to get beyond this. Romans chapter 8 is a well-known chapter in the Bible. But there's a section of it that often gets overlooked. Paul starts out by clarifying that there is no condemnation now for those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 1. And then he explains this relationship between God and God's children, and what it looks like to be a child of God and have the Spirit of God inside of you. And then he shifts to this future when God will fulfill his work in us and restore all of creation into this beautiful thing. Listen to what he says in verse 24. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have and wait for it patiently, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Listen, folks, hear that again. He says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? You see, folks, real hope exists before the reality of what you hope for. Think about Simeon and Anna. Anna especially, day after day, she never left the temple. Always had this hope. Now you think about this, because it leads us to something else. Because, you know, not only do we take this hope and allow it to live in us so that we can see beyond, it also shows us and convinces us that God is with us. God is with us now. God is with us here. God will be with us forever. Listen, folks, there is no uncertainty with God. God knows your pain. God knows your challenges. God knows your struggles. God sees you. He sees where you are. He sees where you've been. He sees where you're going. And this same God is the God that sent his Son so that we might have hope. And that hope, which is salvation, which is eternal life, which is a Spirit-filled life, that the hope of all those things will become a reality because of the hope that we have, and that we know that God is with us. God is with us. Who did they say? They called Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. His promise is that he would be with us today. And that his hope would include, it would include some things. Let me share a couple of them with you. Maybe you're familiar with Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you" what? A hope and a future. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Listen, folks, there are so many people that feel like that what we're going through right now, that it's going to be their end. It's going to be their demise. It's going to be the end of happiness in their life. And listen, I know that there are a lot of challenging things about what we're going through right now. And the things that the government, the state government, the federal government, local governments are saying to us and telling us what we should do, what we need to do, what we ought to do. I know that a lot of this stuff is so overwhelming. But God has plans to prosper us, not harm us, to give us hope into a future. I hope that you feel and see the hope that is leaping from the Word of God today. Because the third thing is that God's hope, the hope that He gives us, is going to inspire us to carry on. Paul describes in Romans 5 and explains that because of Jesus, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Are we able to do that? Are we able to allow hope to empower us and to inspire us to keep on going? Or do we allow the weightiness of the times in which we live to just keep us down? You know, I know most of you guys all know this, but Arlene and I both had this crazy virus. And we said to people, we literally did not get out of bed for 2.5 weeks. I mean, literally just got out of bed to go to the restroom, got out of bed to, you know, eat a cup of cottage cheese or something to keep you going or get something to drink. Literally did not get out of bed for that long. And you know what I found? That when you don't get out of bed for that long, I mean, your muscles kind of get soft. I mean, they were kind of soft anyway. You know, when you start feeling better, it's even difficult then to get going. Listen, folks, the hope that God brings to us at Christmas is the hope that will inspire us to carry on. Tom Moore, now Captain Sir Tom Moore, since he was knighted by the Queen of England, 100 years old, he single-handedly raised $40 million for the British healthcare system by walking 100 laps around a local garden. 100 laps for 100 years. It started by a challenge from his son-in-law, who said that he would donate $1 per lap, or £1 per lap over there. And then his son posted it on social media. It became viral and went around the world. And when everything was counted, this 100-year-old man raised $40 million. I'm telling you, folks, what an amazing story. And he says he wants to travel the world once the pandemic subsides so that he could bring others hope. When they asked him about his feet, he said that the hardest part was the first 3 steps. And then he said, after that, I just kept going. You see, folks, here's the point of what we're talking about this morning. What is our next step of hope? What is your next step of hope? I know one thing. The next few steps for all of us will be the hardest. But once we get going, we can keep going. See, folks, it can be hard to lift our downcast spirit. But here's the beautiful thing about Christmas. Hope inspires us. It emboldens us. It builds upon hope and keeps us going no matter what. So this Advent season, I want us to walk in. Wouldn't you have loved to just be able to enter into the conversation between Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph when they brought Jesus to the temple? Wouldn't you have loved to just step out of our time into their time and see the look on their faces when the Spirit came upon them and told them that this is the Messiah? And as they held him, and as they talked to his parents, they became hopeful because this child was the hope of the world. In this Advent season, we can find hope by the arrival of Jesus. And here's my invitation to all of you, to me as well. Let's take that next step toward hope and hold on to it until that hope becomes a reality. You know, when I was young, you know, we never had big Christmases. But I'll never forget that there was a number of years when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old that I wanted more than anything a 10-speed bicycle. Now, I know that my mother couldn't afford a 10-speed bicycle, but I'm telling you right here and now, I hoped for that for multiple years. You know, to this day, because then I was just a selfish child and I never bothered to ask. But now I look back on that, and that Christmas morning when that orange bicycle was in our living room. As a selfish child, I never bothered to ask how that happened. But I was so thankful that my hope became a reality. And you know what, folks? I don't know what you're hoping for today, but I know this, I'm hoping for hope. And I pray that hope will fill our lives to such an extent that we will never have a worry as we go forward. Because the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, has come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, you are the hope of the world. I can't imagine, Lord, the joy. I can't imagine, Father, the excitement of Simeon and Anna as they saw Joseph and Mary bring that small boy into the temple. Because, Lord, they knew who he was. They knew what he was bringing. They knew the hope of the world had arrived. And God, the very same struggles and difficulties, Lord, that they had then, we're feeling now. Lord, this pandemic that has come upon us, the economic struggles that it has brought, the unemployment, Lord, and the businesses shutting down, the inability, Lord, to see family and friends as often as we would like, the difficulty, Lord, of even going to our homes and going to the store, the worries, Lord, about even gathering as the church and worshiping you, Lord, as you've called us to do. There's so much about our world that is a struggle, Lord, and not only just all of that, but just the powerful hurricanes, Lord, that seem to just come and keep coming. the fires, Lord, that are raging out west even as we speak right now. Calamity and catastrophe. And what is your answer, Lord, to that? What is our answer to all of that? Lord, it's hope. And Father, may our faith be up to the challenge of realizing, Lord, all of the things that we hope for each other, for ourselves, for the church, for our community, for our nation, for the world. Lord, may we be a light of that hope to all of them. And God, right now, as we sing this wonderful song, I pray that every person that's here this morning would take that next step toward hope. And may it burn brightly, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen.